Our text for this morning is part of the gospel reading, which we heard, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through the first part of verse 34. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" This is the gospel of the Lord and our text. Dear Christian friends, today we celebrate All Saints Day. And as we think about the saints, both those heroes of faith throughout history and those that we know who have been important spiritual leaders for us, or those that have gone before us, of our loved ones, on the way to heaven before us. And at this time of year, we also think about our spiritual life plan on how we're going to follow those saints in our personal spiritual lives. What kind of things are important for us to pay attention to? This last Wednesday, many of you know, those campaigning to lead our country had a debate. And some of them were unhappy with the questions that were being asked. They thought they were wasting time on unimportant things. Well, here in our text for this morning, Jesus' opponents have been debating with him. And in verse 28, one of the scribes says, "I want to focus on important things in this debate." And so he opens it up to Jesus. What is the most important commandment in the law? Now, the word translated important in these verses, in the original language, literally means first. What comes first? Well, that would make it means important. Well, a few Sundays ago, in the children's message, I had a couple of jars, if you remember that, and they're both full of rocks and gravel and sand. In one of them, I put the sand in first, and then the gravel, and then the rocks, but the rocks didn't all fit. The other one, I put the rocks in first, and then the gravel that sifted down among the rocks, and then the sand, and it all fit in the jar. Well, the main point of that was that our lives, which are crammed with many things, sometimes have trouble fitting everything in unless we put first things first. We have to make sure that we put the important things, the big things in our life, first. One reason that what comes first in our life is important is because one thing leads to another. And so what comes first makes a difference in what is next. That's what we see in this text. Saints are led to faith and to love, by faith, to love God. And love for God is what leads us to love others as well. But it's Jesus' love that leads us, first of all, into God's kingdom. Let's think first about how saints are led by faith to love God. We read, "One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" In verse 28, when the scribe asks, "Which commandment?" The word he uses for "which" can also be translated, "What kind of?" What kind of commandment is most important? Now, I noticed that because in other places in the Bible, including Matthew's summary of this account, record the summary of the law, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might," which is a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. But here is the only place that Jesus starts with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. He says, "The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That statement is known as, to the Jewish people, as the great Shema. Shema is a word that means listen or hear. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Achad. That's their creed. The Lord is one. This is the answer to what comes first. Before any commandment about what we should do, is this rule, most important is who God is and what He does for us. What kind of command comes first? It's the command, the call to have faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments, well, in Hebrew, they literally call them the Ten Words. And nowhere does it say which is the first, second, third, or fourth. But the first word given is when God says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then He goes on, you shall have no other gods before me. The first word is God's word about what He Himself has done for us. Now, in Egypt, and in many cultures, there were many different gods. And so your loyalty was divided between all these gods, trying to keep them all happy at the same time. But if there's only one God who does everything for us, then our loyalty and our love belong to Him alone. Now, today's epistle reading from 1 John chapter 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And he goes on, when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's telling us it is God's nature to be perfectly and totally loving. And His call to us to be His children is a call to be like Him. And so John says, when we see Him as He is, when He fully appears on the last day, and also now as He reveals Himself to us in His Word and in His sacraments, seeing Him as He is in His love is what causes us to be like Him, to be loving as well. As John also wrote, we love because He first loved us. If we really knew and believed how much He loves us, why wouldn't we love Him completely? It's the love of God. And the love God gives us and the faith He gives us by revealing Himself to us in this way and the righteousness that He gives us through that faith that makes us holy, that is, saints. But this love for God always leads to something else. It comes first, but it leads to something else. Love for God leads to love for others. So Jesus goes on. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The commandments, the question, which commandments are most important? Comes to the fact that in Jewish tradition, there are 600 and some commandments coinciding with their count of the 601 some parts of the body. In other words, we keep these commandments with all that we are. We're not used to having an exact count, but it's true that proper relationships with others, keeping commandments, can be complicated. A scientific study of the brain has concluded that people are equipped to have about 150 close relationships with family or and co-workers and neighbors and friends, etc. How do you keep them all straight? Well, I compare godly relationships with other people, not to the whole body, but to our backbone, which actually consists of many different bones that all have to be kept straight in a good relationship with each other. If they're out of line, if they're crooked, we end up with pain, and we can't do the things that we need to do. The same thing happens if we are crooked, that is, if we're out of line in our relationships with other people. The Bible summarizes God's rule for relationships. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some have said, well, that means you can't truly love your neighbor until you first love yourself. Well, maybe, but you have to properly understand what love is. Love is not just a good feeling. about ourselves or about someone else. But love is wanting what is good for ourselves or, in this case, especially for other people. Like God, who always wants what's good for us, even when he sometimes feels angry at our sins. Now, we may like feeling good. That could mean, oh, just relaxing all day, eating whatever we feel like eating, whatever tastes good, doing whatever we feel like doing, whatever we enjoy. Is that what is going to be truly good for us in the long run? I don't think so. It would lead to poverty and sickness and misery. We may imagine that loving others means feeling good. So long as we love and those people make us feel good, and so we will feel good about them as long as they make us feel good. And so we try to do whatever makes other people feel good about us. Is this true love? Is this what's really good for other people? No, not at all. This is why God, who truly loves us, has given us his commandments that explain what is truly good for us and for other people. Is it good? It is good for us and for others to not ignore our parents and others in authority, but to respect them and to listen to them. Otherwise, they aren't going to do us any good. It is good for others and for us to not take life for granted and to waste it, but instead to protect human life and health. It is good for others and for us to not be sexually promiscuous, but to be faithful to our spouse. It is good for others and for us to not just get what we want however we can manage to get it, including stealing, but instead to earn it. It is good for others and for us to not just say whatever seems to be to our advantage at the time, but to tell the truth. All of these things may feel hard at the time, but love is what is best in the long run. Thinking of the saints today reminds us that the life we want to live is not just for here and now, but for forever. And it is Jesus' love that leads us into that kingdom. Verse 32, the scribes said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." This question, what kind of commandment comes first, reflects the fact that in the Old Testament, God gave Israel three kinds of laws and commandments. One kind of law was about personal relationships with God and with other people. That's the kind that we've been thinking about. But another kind was political laws on how to run things in the nation of Israel. Well, we don't live in that nation or kingdom today, and both the Old Testament and the New Testament make clear that we are to live by the laws of the country we live in. Those are the ones that we are subject to. Another kind, a third kind of law in the Old Testament was ceremonial law, how to worship, details about sacrifices, all of which actually were pointing forward to and picturing the final sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Now, it's virtually impossible to keep all of these different kinds of laws all at the same time. The parable of the Good Samaritan is all about the tension between the relationship law, caring about our neighbor, and the ceremonial law about ritual purity. And the scribe that Jesus is talking to recognizes that loving relationship with God and neighbors is more important than those ceremonial laws, offerings, and sacrifices. But Jesus says to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Well, what does it take to actually get into the kingdom of God? With all that is also including the kingdom of heaven along with all the saints. It takes more than our keeping the law. Because we can't keep it perfectly. When people die, It's not uncommon to talk about how good they were by talking about how kind and helpful they were to other people. But what about when it's even more important? What about loving God above all things with faithful devotion? Can anyone claim to actually love God with all of his heart and soul? Does anyone love God with all of his mind and understanding? Has anyone ever loved God with all of his might and strength? There is only one who could honestly say yes, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the one who not only loves God that way, but Jesus is the one who loves us with all he is, more than himself. He's loved us with all of his heart and with all of his soul and all of his mind and all of his strength. And so he is willing to suffer for us emotionally and socially and spiritually and physically with all of his strength and finally with his whole life and his death for us. And his keeping that whole law for us does more than all of the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices combined together. Because it once for all finally makes up for all of our failure to perfectly keep God's law. And it's because of this alone that we are made God's holy saints, who join in praising him ultimately in the kingdom of light. Saints who are led by faith to love God. What he has done for us, revealed to us in his word and sacraments, is what leads us to faith. And that's the only way to have a right relationship with God or any relationship with God at all. Love for God is what then leads us to love others. It's a relationship with a loving God as his dear children. And seeing him as he is, and seeing ourselves for what we are, that leads us to a right relationship with our brothers and sisters. And God's love for us is what leads us to God's kingdom. What comes first is hearing that the Lord our God is one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are that one true God. And hearing what God has done for us, delivering us from slavery to sin, that's what brings us into his kingdom, the communion of saints. And living in this kingdom of grace is what makes us live the way we do, here and now and forever with him in heaven. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.